When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, this is the first time in a long time we could actually have some clarity about a victory. This is actually, when was the last time they won? They won very beginning of October.
Steelers?
It was October 5th, something like that. I mean, we went almost 2 months without them winning a game. In fact, you got Tampa Bay coming up here. When we were talking about Tampa Bay in a couple weeks, who would be the favorite there with Nick Eatman yesterday, I was looking up some different things.
Nick thought the Cowboys would be favored in their next four, and I looked at Choppy, and I'm like, no, they're not going to be favored against Cincy or Tampa.
Tampa had gone just about as long without a victory as Dallas had before they beat the Giants. I didn't realize that they had been that long. Their last victory had been October 12th before they beat the Giants.
What?
Yeah. And so, in fact, there was a note getting passed around yesterday. The Eagles and the Lions, since losing to the Buccaneers, both of them lost to the Buccaneers. Since losing to the Buccaneers, they're combined 17-0 since they lost to Tampa. Wow. And then this has been a weird NFL season. And this was one of the weird games out there, not just because of the results, but obviously because of how it finished. But you can see, I stand by what I was saying yesterday. This is the best coaching job they've had all year. Like just schematically and game plan and everything else that they want to do. And a lot of it you could say potentially is they've had good game plans at other points and execution's been poor. And so can you really blame them for the coaching job if the players just aren't executing? But first note here, another round of applause for Mozzie Smith. Mozzie Smith was good. Again, this is 2 weeks in a row for you, Mozzie. Starting to turn it around a little bit. Baby. And look, had some people, the very first snap of the game, he blows up Tyler Biadasz and just destroys the Brian Robinson run play. Osa comes in and cleans it up, but it's Mozzie Smith really blowing that play up and freeing things up. He was so much quicker off the ball. Now, what you're seeing is he's got, I don't know if it's conditioning or what it is, as the game wears on, you see him getting slower off the snap. Like, it's just he's not as quick getting off the snap. But very early in the game and third quarter and consistently throughout the game, he was getting off the ball quicker than he normally does. When he's getting off the ball quickly, he's a lot to handle. He's a big dude, and he's physical, and he's strong, and that's something that is tough to deal with if he's able to get off the ball and get in your chest really quickly. And he did that with Tyler Biadasz. Now, there were a lot of people who were coming back at me when I tweeted about Mozzie yesterday, and one guy in particular was like, shouldn't level of competition factor into this? It's like, well, one, level of competition
is good.
I know. It's like, one, level of competition has not mattered for Mozzie Smith his entire career.
Small victory. Just take the small victory.
So if he's performing at all, I don't care who the competition is. He's had problems with everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. Two, even if you want to say Tyler Biadasz isn't an all-pro, Tyler Biadasz is more than worthy competition for judging if Mozzie Smith is playing well. He's a good player.
At very least, league average.
Yeah,
at very least.
And people were, somebody else came back and said, well, wasn't Biadasz's problem always strength? It's like, guys, you are getting lost in way too many details to just not give credit to Mozzie Smith played well. He was good.
Yeah.
And just, we can leave it at that. Number two, Josh Butler was good. Josh Butler was not as good as I initially thought watching him live. But he was still very good. And the biggest thing that I think stood out to me when I was watching it back, it was the timeliness of what he was doing. So he was making big plays on third downs. He was wrapping up to, you know, force punts and do different things like that. And so because of the timing of it, I think watching it live, it felt more impactful. But they were definitely, they said that's who we're throwing against all day today. That's who they wanted to pick on. I think he got targeted 12 times in this game, which is a ton.
Number of tackles,
because he was targeted 12 times. But I mean, he was wrapping up. That's the thing, is that he was stopping guys. And he did have he had a couple different pass breakups, big stops on third down. So he deserves a ton of credit. It's just, Yeah, was it as dominant as that? Nah, there's a little bit of magic to the moment whenever he was making big plays, and that probably accentuated a little bit. But he was definitely good. He was better than Kalen Carson's been all year. Number three, Mike Zimmer was so good in this game in terms of just absolutely confusing Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaden Daniels, when you watched him leading up to the game, one of the things you would see is that he was really good for the most part at before the snap. He was good at IDing where the blitzers were coming from, knowing where his hot reads were and doing different things. Zim had a lot of different things in here where Daniels wasn't sure where the pressure was coming from, or Daniels wasn't sure who was dropping. And there was one play in particular where he knows the blitz is coming in all likelihood off the slot from Jordan Lewis. And I think he recognizes it, and he's got his hot read there, the slot receiver, that he's gonna throw it to him when Jordan Lewis comes off the blitz. Eric Kendricks is lined up on the other side of the formation, like the other side of the ball away from Jordan Lewis. At the snap of the ball, Eric Kendricks books it to the other side of the field, and Jaden Daniels has to like hesitate where he was going to throw it there, and it was going to get picked. Kendricks was praying he was going to throw the ball because Kendricks would have walked right into the football and picked it off. And so they did a lot of things to try and bait him and confuse him and kind of throw him off, and you saw it really frustrate him and cause issues. So Mike Zimmer was really, really good in this one. He's playing a lot with Micah Parsons' alignment lately. Micah Parsons has
registered as like a D tackle for the first time ever. I saw like that note.
He legit, and it was not like a, you know, sometimes you'll line somebody up somewhere and they're like, technically Micah played corner on this snap, or no, this is Micah was lined up at three technique defensive tackle. And it's something where the last 2 weeks against Houston and Washington, he has lined up more there in the last 2 weeks than I think he's lined up there his entire career combined. So Zim came out of the bye week and started really adjusting, you know, alignment, some of the different things they were doing with sim pressures and creepers. And like, those are just different terms for basically a creeper, for instance, is a blitz where you're sending four
Peyton,
people.
Tell us.
You're sending four people like you normally would. Okay. So it's four rushers, but a creeper would be one of the defensive linemen, one of the front four is not coming. So he's dropping back and they're sending somebody. So it's a traditional four-man blitz, but it's not the traditional four players you would expect.
Like a zone blitz, one guy?
It's usually a zone. Yeah, it's a zone blitz. So it's typically you would send a slot corner, for instance, and then drop an end or do some different things. So you're still sending four, but you're stressing their communication and where the rush is coming from.
I'm going to stop down on Mike Zimmer for a second. Is what he is doing in the second half of the season, let's just say that the whole coaching staff was not blown out. Mm-hmm. Is Zimmer doing a good enough job that you would think about retaining him for next year? How is it making you reevaluate the first half embarrassment that they were defensively? Like,
I'll go back and check.
Hit the refresh button on Zimmer right now and how you're thinking about him.
So Zimmer obviously has been without a lot of different personnel this year, and I think that affected what he wanted to do. But also I think early on he was getting familiar with who his personnel was. And so I think that he was learning, okay, what are you capable of doing? Dan Quinn, his first year here, the first half of the season, the defense was pretty porous. They weren't consistently good. And he figured it out. By the end of the year, they were forcing a bunch of turnovers and they were making plays. And similarly, you're seeing that a little bit with Zimmer now, where he was figuring out his personnel, figuring out what they were capable of. I think he was learning early on, okay, I can't trust Kalen Carson like I thought I would. Oh, okay, I can't have this guy do this. This communication, okay, we can't disguise this because these guys don't know how to get back. They don't know how to communicate here. So I think it was just a learning process. And what you saw is he spent the bye week probably self-scouting and reflecting back on what do I have, what are these guys good at, and how do we maximize it? And I think he's done a good job. He's put them in position.
That's the tough thing that's going to happen is, like, you know, when this whole coach staff does get blown up, like, do you really want to go through growing pains of six more weeks of next year of a new DC with potential miscommunication and everything?
Yeah. And OC.
And OC, for that matter. Yeah, you're right.
Like, they're talking about communication problems now offensively with the same damn system that's been here.
Yeah. And so it's, and a lot of that is
O-line
going to be, you got two young offensive linemen there. That's going to be a problem. You've got injuries and different guys getting swapped out. But I do think it was a good game plan overall from McCarthy, good from Zimmer. And Zim specifically, I think you are starting to see it's clicking with the defense. And that's why I think you hear Micah talking so optimistically. and why biggest surprise to me this season is we haven't gotten a butting of the heads between Micah and Mike Zimmer. It actually looks like Micah really, I think, genuinely respects Mike Zimmer. Because it felt like during the offseason program, he was like, I got some ideas about what I want to do. He's got some ideas, and we both got to give a little bit. He's seemingly dropped all that, and he just seems to have trust in Zimmer at this point. And so I think that's a positive. And Mike was very good on Sunday, by the way.
Post-Huck Clarity with Bobby Bell, Cowboys insider here on 105 through the Fan.
I thought TJ Bass played well when I was watching it live. He played really good when I was watching back. He arguably was their best offensive lineman on Sunday. He was really dominant in the run game, was anchoring well in pass protection. He was not – a lot of the stuff you saw with Dowdle getting bigger runs was stuff of him just doing his job, working in good combination blocks with Cooper Beebe. So I thought TJ Bass was good, to the point that if Zach Martin is out on Thursday and you're genuinely trying to win, I would move TJ Bass over to right guard and just play him. Now, they typically – whenever they know their depth is being tested and stressed, they don't like flipping guys around. So it's one of those things where it's like, no, you're the backup left guard. We don't really want you being the backup swing guard. You are just the backup left guard. And Brock Hoffman's the backup right guard. Brock Hoffman, by the way, played well. I thought that a lot of it was his chippiness, was the guy who, I got to be physical and edge guy because I'm not playing very well. He played pretty well. Not as well as Bass. I thought Bass was really, really good. Bass was one of the better games I think we've seen from a non-Tyler Smith offensive lineman for the Cowboys this year.
Mm.
And so he was really good. And then the last one, the veteran who we missed his day. It didn't stand out to me at all watching it live that he was having a good game. And when I watched it back on tape, I was like, oh, they couldn't do anything with him. That's Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis, outside of the depth that he took on that deep ball to McLaurin, he was just glued to guys and was you're talking about like having success in press where he was off, dropping into zone, some of the blitz stuff that he was doing. Jordan Lewis might have been the best player on the field on Sunday.
Whoa. Wow.
Like, he was really, really good. And he's somebody who I think we're quietly, I mentioned Dat Win earlier that we're going to have Cowboys crosstalk with.
That you wanted him to punch you in the nose, yep. You said.
Yeah, because he's an A&M guy.
He's just turned into a solid
Jordan
player.
Jordan Lewis is like slowly, he's just from the leadership that he shows in there, he's tough. He's been around here for forever, it feels like now. He's slowly turning into one of these just like low-key career Cowboys who you reflect back and go like, that guy was just a solid, like, that's the ideal that you hope you get when you take somebody in the third round. You can get that guy. And so Jordan Lewis was fantastic.